The following is a home program on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 18, Text Number 9, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 12th, 2009, in Copenhagen, Denmark.
So, today at this most auspicious gathering of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we will study from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter Number 6. Yes, Bhagavad Gita. Well, we could do the Bhagavatam, now that I said it. It's called a Freudian slip. Maybe I'm supposed to do the Bhagavatam. Yeah, since I said it. We will do the Bhagavatam. Yeah, this verse was mentioned in the Bhagavatam class yesterday. So now, here it is. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text Number 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Svasti astu Vishvasya Kala Prasidatam. Dayantu Bhutani Shivam Todiya Manascha Badrang Bhajatad Nadhoksaje Aveshyatan Numatirap Yahaitaki. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. May there be good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga. For by accepting devotional service, they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Sense Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of Him. Purport. The following verse describes a Vaishnava. Vanchakapatarubhyascha kripa sindubhyaibhacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Just like a desire tree, a Vaishnava can fulfill all the desires of anyone who takes shelter of his lotus feet. Prahlad Maharaj is a typical Vaishnava. He prays not for himself, but for all living entities, the gentle, the envious, and the mischievous. He always thought of the welfare of mischievous persons like his father, Hiranyakashipu. Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for anything for himself. Rather, he prayed for the Lord to excuse his demoniac father. This is the attitude of a Vaishnava, who always thinks of the welfare of the entire universe. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Dharma are meant for persons who are completely free of envy. Parama Nirmatsaranam. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays in this verse, Kala Prasidatam. May all the envious persons be pacified. The material world is full of envious persons, but if one frees himself of envy, he becomes liberal in his social dealings and can think of others' welfare. Anyone who takes up Krishna consciousness and engages himself completely in the service of the Lord cleanses his mind of all envy. Manaschavadrang vatatadadhoksajay. Therefore, we should pray to Lord Nrisimhadev to sit in our hearts. We should pray, Vahir Nasingo Hridaye Nasingo. let Lord Nrisimhadev sit in the core of my heart, killing all my bad propensities. Let my mind become clean, so that I may peacefully worship the Lord and bring peace to the entire world. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given us a very fine purport in this regard. Whenever one offers a prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one always requests some benediction from Him. Even pure nishkama devotees pray for some benediction. As instructed by Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Sakshastaka, I nanda tanujo kim kurang patitang mang vishameva mang budo kripaya tavapada pankajas titai dhuli sadrisham vichintaya. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I am your eternal servitor, yet somehow or other I have fallen into the ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from the ocean of birth and death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. In another prayer, Lord Chaitanya says, Mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatad bhaktir ahaitaki tve. Life after life, kindly let me have unalloyed love and devotion on your lordship's lotus feet. When Prahlad Maharaj chants Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya, he prays for a benediction from the Lord. But because he is also an exalted Vaishnava, he wants nothing for his personal sense gratification. The first desire expressed in his prayer is Svasti Yastu Vishvasha. Let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. Prahlad Maharaj thus requested the Lord to be merciful to everyone, including his father, a most envious person. According to Chanakya Pandit, there are two kinds of envious living entities. One is a snake, and the other is a man, like Aranyakashipu, who is by nature envious of everyone, even of his father or son. Aranyakashipu was envious of his little son Prahlad, but Prahlad Maharaj asked a benediction for the benefit of his father. Aranyakashipu was very envious of devotees, but Prahlad wished that his father and other demons like him would give up their envious nature by the grace of the Lord and stop harassing the devotees. Kala prasidatam. The difficulty is that the kala, envious living entity, is rarely pacified. One kind of kala, the snake, can be pacified simply by mantras or by the action of a particular herb. Mantra shaudi vasha sarpa kalakena nirvayate. An envious person, however, cannot be pacified by any means. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that all envious persons may undergo a change of heart and think of the welfare of others. If the Krishna consciousness movement spreads all over the world, and if, by the grace of Krishna, everyone accepts it, the thinking of envious persons will change. Everyone will think of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Shivam Mato Diya. In material activities, everyone is envious of others, but in Krishna consciousness, no one is envious of anyone else. Everyone thinks of the welfare of others. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj prays that everyone's mind may become gentle by being fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. Bhajatadadhoksajay. As indicated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savaimana Krishna Padaravindayo. And as advised by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 18:65, Manmana Mama Manbhakta. One should constantly think of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one's mind will certainly be cleansed. Chaito dharpanamarajanam. Materialists always think of sense gratification, but Prahlad Maharaj prays that the Lord's mercy will change their minds and they will stop thinking of sense gratification. If they think of Krishna always, everything will be all right. Some people argue that if everyone thought of Krishna in this way, the whole universe would be vacated because everyone would go back to home, back to Godhead. However, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says this is impossible because the living entities are innumerable. If one set of living entities is actually delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, another set will fill up the entire universe. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatan Vita Sajima Sadaita Savaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So this is Vaishnava. He is not envious. Those who are envious, they are not Vaishnava. Even if they wear tilak and kantimala, they are envious, they are not Vaishnava. The true Vaishnava, he is the well-wisher of all living entities throughout the entire universe. That is true Vaishnava. This is the most wonderful prayer, a translation for Bhai. We sing it every morning in the Shringa prayers. Bhayir na singo hridaye na singa. Literally it means, Bhayir means externally, hridaye means internally. So literally we're saying externally na singa, internally na singa. But so Prabhupada has understood the real meaning of this. Let there be the Shringa outside and the Shringa inside, you see. That is the prayer. So by saying Bhayir na singo, the devotee is praying that the whole world can become Krishna conscious. And singing Hridaye na singo, he's praying that he may become completely purified in his heart. So that he can be fully absorbed in bringing peace to the entire world, you see. The devotee is a spiritual revolutionary. He's not content simply to be Krishna conscious on his own in some solitary place. He wants to see that the whole world will take up Krishna consciousness. Even at the risk of his life, he will preach. Lord Jesus Christ is an example. Hare Das Thakur. Even at the risk of his very life, he will preach this Krishna conscious movement. Because he cannot tolerate it. It is too painful for him to see the people suffering in this sense gratification syndrome. Actually, that's a good word. Syndrome. Yeah. So the pure devotee is Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Even though we are misfits, it's like Lord Ram engaged the monkeys, you see. We are Prabhupada's monkeys. He is engaging us in this wonderful activity of spreading Krishna consciousness movement all over the world so people can become happy. This is the great kindness and love of Srila Prabhupada, that he has given us this service, even though we are completely unfit to represent the previous acharyas, still he has ordered us that we must preach on behalf of the previous acharyas to bestow the ultimate benediction on the human society. Prabhupada has made the same point in a different place in the Bhagavatam. He says, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver the entire suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. So, what is the name of our society? The International Society for Krishna Consciousness, isn't it? So does that mean the members are supposed to be Krishna conscious? I think so, wouldn't you? If it's a society for Krishna consciousness, then the members, they're supposed to be Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada explains, what is the mentality of someone who is actually Krishna conscious? He is always thinking of how to save the whole world. He's always thinking like that. And Prabhupada explains that even if he's not successful in doing so, at least his life will be successful. And anyone who follows him, their life will also be successful. And this point is further elaborated in the Nectar of Devotion, where Srila Prabhupada is quoting Rupa Goswami. He says, I am trying to spread this Krishna conscious movement all over the world, although I consider myself to be completely unqualified to do so. Prabhupada explains, this should be the attitude of all the preachers of the Krishna conscious movement. So each one of us should be in that mood of a spiritual revolutionary. How can I live my life in such a way to save the world, to deliver the suffering humanity? But at the same time, we should not be proud thinking, oh yes, I'm a qualified preacher. We should understand we're simply a humble servant of the previous acharyas, that's all. Just like that company DHL, you know, they deliver the parcel. We are the DHL men from the acharyas, that's all. Men and women, DHL men and women for the previous acharyas, that's all. They have given the ultimate benediction, Krishna consciousness, and it is our duty to deliver it to them, the people. Here, take it. Krishna consciousness. So this verse is a very nice verse, actually. One can meditate on this verse every day. Let there be all good fortune throughout the universe, and may all envious persons be pacified. May all living entities become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, for by accepting devotional service they will think of each other's welfare. Therefore, let us all engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thought of him. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
I don't know here, but you know, long time ago in Poland, it was like preaching, you know, that the devotees are the best. Ah, I should speak louder.
I'll have him repeat it. Yeah, go.
The devotee, you know, so in the beginning of the movement in Poland, it was the preaching, you know, all these karmis, they are bad, we are devotees, we are doing well, etc., etc. So now my realization is like, we should become the friends of the people. And when we are giving the Krishna consciousness for friends, then they are taking easier, and we are trying to do by ourselves. We must give them. We hate them because they're doing wrong, but we must give them to make them happy. So it's correct.
What is point?
He's saying in the beginning in Poland, they were condemning the karmis, the dirty karmis. But well, now they're more like he's suggesting that we make friends with people.
Yeah.
And then in that way, it's easier to, even whatever level people are on, then it's easier to convert them to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, if one becomes very proud of, very proudly looks down on people, it means they're neophyte. It's not compassion, you see. It's egotism. So a neophyte devotee, he may put up a wall like that to protect his own Krishna consciousness. But one who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, he can capture the heart of the people. He charms them by his loving dealings. even though he knows they're an illusion. He doesn't think I'm better than them. He feels, actually, if it wasn't for the mercy of Prabhupada, I'd be probably more degraded than they are. He just feels himself the humble servant of everyone. And it's not that the devotee thinks whatever you do is okay. He knows that they're doing the wrong things, but he doesn't feel himself proud that I am great and you are nonsense. The more that one feels that I'm a nonsense, that is his greatness. Any other questions? Yeah.
What can we practically do to overcome envy? Because envy is such a subtle energy sometimes. And as you mentioned in the beginning, if someone is envious, you cannot become a Vaishnava. And sometimes it seems so hopeless because envy sometimes comes with so little deep.
Yeah, that answer is given by Narottam Das Thakur. Ananda bole hare bhaja vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade manjai aman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, worship the holy Dham, and always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So, instead of, one has to be proactively a worshipper of devotees. Sometimes they say, whatever you do, don't commit an offense towards the devotees. We think, well, I guess I better just stay in the closet. You know, I might say something wrong to a devotee that would destroy my spiritual life. I just go off to out in the forest, you know, so I won't offend any devotees, you see. But no, one should associate with devotees because we need that association. You develop your consciousness according to your association. And if you don't associate with devotees, you'll associate with non-devotees. That's a fact. No man is an island. So, you have to associate with devotees in the proper mood of loving service, seeing them as Krishna's representatives, bowing down at their feet. You see, worshipping devotees. Oh, it's for, in every devotee, you should find some nice quality. You see, that you can appreciate the nice quality of that devotee. Even if he has so many faults, you should be more interested to see his good qualities, you see. So you can encourage him to become better in his good qualities. This way. Yeah.
In the Shastras, Prabhupada said that this movement is revolutionary.
Yeah.
And my question is, what is the evolution of this movement? How we can explain the evolution of this movement?
Well, you have to distribute books, do Harinam Sankirtan, distribute Prasadam, have festivals, cultivate people, make friendship with them, share with them your Krishna consciousness in this way, preaching. All sorts of preaching work. This is the method. Not just idly sitting around and thinking about making a revolution. You have to do some practical work. Go out and chant and dance on the streets. Go out and distribute books. Distribute prasadam. Organize home programs. Invite people. So many things we have to engage more and more people in chanting and hearing about Krishna. That will make the revolution.
This is evolution.
Revolution, yes. That will make the revolution. The more we engage people in Krishna Katha, you see. Krishna Katha is revolutionary. The more that people engage in Krishna Katha, their hearts become revolutionized. And the more that people's hearts become revolutionized, the more the whole planet becomes revolutionized. And all the problems will go away. Terrorism, global warming, poverty, crime, corruption, bad weather, drought, floods, all this will go away if we increase the Krishna consciousness movement.
So evolution and revolution is the same.
Revolution and evolution. Yes, our revolution is one of evolution of consciousness. We have a consciousness evolution revolution. Any other questions? everyone satisfied, ready to revolutionize your consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna. Huh? Everyone's ready to revolutionize your consciousness by reading Prabhupada's books and chanting Hare Krishna. And then make a revolution on this planet, you see, by preaching. This is the real nectar. Why read the news when you can be the news? Why study history when you can make history? It's much more exciting, you know. Yeah.
Prabhu, you mentioned that we are like the soldiers or the monkeys of Lord Ramachandra.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe some of us is on the level of, not on the level of, but trying to be like Hanuman, and some of being trying to be like Sugriva, and maybe some are trying to be like Vali. But how can we all attempt to be, come to our best, the best level of our capacity?
Just do whatever you can. Even if you're a little spider, that's all right. Just do whatever you can do. That's all. Be sincere. Whatever you can do, do it. If it just means washing some dishes in the kitchen, then do it nicely with love. And whatever you can do, do it. If it means weeding the garden of the temple, do it. You see. If it means reading Prabhupada's books, rising early to chant Hare Krishna in the morning, whatever you can do, do it. And by doing that, you'll become more and more empowered. You can start off as a little spider and you can become a Hanuman. You can evolve your consciousness from a spider to Hanuman in due course of time, you see. From Kanishtha Adhikari to Mahabhagavat, everyone is meant to go that evolution of consciousness. From Kanishtha Adhikari to Uttama Adhikari, everyone is meant to become Uttama Adhikari. Fully absorbed in pushing for this movement 24 hours a day. That is one definition Prabhupada has given of Uttama Adhikari. He's not interested in sense enjoyment. He just wants to push for this movement with all times, all places, and all circumstances. So, any other questions? Yes?
I was wondering if Maharaj could tell some of the leelas from Vishnugan Maharaj.
Mm. Yes, His Holiness Vishnujana Maharaj is very, very special devotee in my life. He is the one who charmed me, who convinced me I was a snake. He was the snake charmer. He was the one who convinced me to surrender to Prabhupada. So I'm eternally indebted to him. He is called Vartma Pradarshaka Guru. In San Francisco and Berkeley, I met so many devotees back in 1968, 69. But it seemed like boot camp to me, you know, like a military boot camp. I was thinking, no. Yeah. I knew the chanting was good, but this, it didn't look very appealing to me, this brahmachari life, you see. Like boot camp, joining the military, you know. But then I became a little beaten down by the material nature, and I realized I had to really surrender to myself to the Lord. You know, I knew that all my attempts to be happy independently of the Lord's service were futile. So I was praying. This time I was back in Texas, in Austin, Texas, and I was praying every day, "My dear Lord, please guide me how I can become your perfect servant." As soon as I prayed like that for a few days, Krishna answered my prayer. He sent Vishnujana Swami to Austin. He came from Houston up to Austin, Texas, 175 miles away. He came and answered Krishna's prayer. You see, I mean, my prayer to Krishna, you see. So, he showed me what is it. What is the life of being surrendered to Krishna? What is the life of being totally absorbed in preaching? It was amazing. He came to Austin with no money, no vehicle, no musical instruments. He just had his danda, a blanket, a toothbrush, a razor blade, a case of Bhakti Hare magazines, The few books, he had the Brown Bhagavatam that Prabhupada bought on the ship, the three volumes, the first canto of Bhagavatam. He had the old Macmillan Gita with Allen Ginsberg introduction. Maybe a few other books with him. And he just went out to the street and he chanted, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. In his beautiful swan-like way he chanted. And immediately he attracted people. He said, invite me to your home and I will turn it into a temple. So every night he did a Namahat program. He had no temple, but every night he was staying in a different house. Or he would stay, actually one place, would, some people would put him up. And then he would do programs in different homes every night. Two men joined him immediately, brahmacharis. There was no temple even. They were just wandering around town, every, a different house every night. They joined him, surrendered. So he got a vehicle that way. One boy had a four-wheel jeep. Prabhupada heard about that jeep, that Vishnujan Swami had a four-wheel jeep that could go anywhere. He said, yes, that is sannyas. So he got a jeep. And then one English professor, Mr. Ray Neubauer, he became attracted also. He said, Swami, I will rent a house for the temple. And I, my wife and I will live in a room, and you all can have the rest of the house. So we within a few weeks, he had a vehicle, he had a temple, and it was filled up with devotees. Just from nothing, just by preaching. All by himself, with no help from anyone. Just by his faith in Prabhupada. He created, he got a nice little center there. And it was very wonderful. I got initiated there. Actually, the mayor of Austin attended the ceremony. It was very unusual. One devotee, Ishan, he had just come from London. He had stayed in John Lennon's estate with Prabhupada, you see. So he was thinking, we can get any big man into Krishna consciousness. So he invited the mayor to come to my initiation ceremony. And the mayor came. Vishnu Jamaraj did the yajna in the front yard of the temple. And it was a suburban neighborhood. You know, all the neighbors are there seeing this thing going on. This, for them, it was a weird ritual, you know. I had advertised the first Vedic fire sacrifice ever held in the city of Austin. And we gathered a big crowd, actually. Everybody was curious. There was a big hippie community there. The underground newspaper came, the campus newspaper came. It was a big campus there, 50,000 students. So we had good media coverage, the mayor was there. And sure enough, the neighbors called the police. And the police came, and there was the mayor attending the function. He sent them on their way, you see. So, Vishnujan Swami was very special. And then we had no knowledge of anything. So for Mangal Arti, he would offer the Arti and lead the Kirtan also. We'd had no, in those days, no deities. You had a little black and white picture of the Panchatattva cut out of Back to Godhead magazine, not this big. That was our altar. So I remember hearing him one morning. He was singing Gurvastakam prayers. Oh, it was so amazing. The bhakti in his voice just carry you away, you see. It was amazing. With no instruments, just singing Gurvastakam unaccompanied, you know. There's so much bhakti, so much bhava, just overflowing with like a volcano spewing out nectar. It was amazing. And then a letter came from Prabhupada to Vishnujana Swami. He was not there at the time. Of course, in those days, when a letter came from Prabhupada, it didn't matter who was addressed to, you just open it. Everybody was greedy for Prabhupada nectar, you see. Of course, that would sometimes get you in trouble. There'd be something confidential that only that person was supposed to know. And that happened in that case, actually. But anyway, in this letter, Prabhupada said to Vishnujana Swami, he said, when you were leading the kirtan in Los Angeles, I could feel how you were carrying me to Vaikuntha. And I was thinking, yes, Prabhupada, And this is right. His singing is so mystical. It's so amazing that just by hearing his kirtan, you can actually be carried through the coverings of the universe into the spiritual world. And Prabhupada confirmed it, you see. So, I was being very much blessed by him, giving me the mercy of Prabhupada, sharing it with me. And then, there was a picture taken by the campus newspaper, a big campus newspaper. It showed Vishnu at the initiation ceremony. It showed Vishnu Janaswami giving the mayor a Simply Wonderful. Caught it on the photograph, you see. So I sent that picture to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wrote me back. He said, give my blessings to Vishnu Janaswami. So I felt so good. You know, I was totally unqualified. I got to say, you know, I get to transmit Prabhupada's blessings to Vishnu Janaswami in reciprocation for all the blessings he was transmitting to me. I got to transmit some back to him from Prabhupada. I thought it was unbelievable. It didn't make sense to me. But Prabhupada ordered me to do it. Please give my blessings to Vishnu Janaswami. So I did that. And, of course, he gave many, many instructions, personal instructions to me. Yeah. I moved in. You see, I was a songwriter before I joined. And I didn't join to surrender. I just joined to live, check it out for a while so I could learn how to write better songs about transcendental matters, you see. There was one famous poet named Gary Snyder. He lived in a Zen monastery for a while. Then he came out again and continued writing poetry. So I thought, I'll live in a Hare Krishna monastery for a while, see what I can learn, you know. So I told Vishnu Janaswami. He said, that's good attitude. He encouraged me. Yes, come on. So anyway, there I was, living in the ashram, doing as the Romans do, you see. They would all bow down. They'd say this long prayer in Sanskrit. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shanyamani Masjidhidhishanani. How could I ever memorize that? I mean, that was... it was so long. Prayer. But that was part of the normal program. You say that prayer. So I took a ballpoint pen. I wrote it in my hand. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Got down to about here and I ended. I had a little space left at the bottom. You see. So whenever I bowed down, yeah, there it was. You see. So then Vishnu John saw I had an empty space in the bottom of my hand. He said, now you add this for that ballpoint pen. I must please my spiritual master and surrender unto him fully. He ordered me, so I did them. He ordered me to do it, so I did them. So in this way, he was allowing me my independence, but gently nudging me. But come on, come on and surrender. And it happened, finally. I had a change of heart, thanks to George Harrison, actually, and the London devotees. George had produced that wonderful Radha Krishna Temple album. Everyone knows the Govindam, we sing it every morning, but the second cut of the album, Samsara Dava Nalalila Loka, everyone is there. So, Vishnu Jan Swami and the devotees, they engaged me in vacuuming the temple rug every morning. That was my service. And we had just gotten that album. And we were playing it constantly. It was so wonderful. Wow, the Beatles are into Krishna consciousness. This is big. We're going to take over the world. Wow, it's great. Apple Records is promoting Krishna consciousness. The Beatles, wow. It's big time. So, that cut was playing. Samsara Dhavana Lali Loka. Devotees had convinced me philosophically that I had to surrender, but still I was holding out. They told me that you want to be a devotee of Krishna, I was thinking I'll be just like George Harrison. I'll write songs and go around and sing Krishna conscious songs with my guitar. And but they said, but Krishna says you have to surrender to the spiritual master here in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 34. So I couldn't say a word, but I still wasn't going to do it. But then that morning I heard that Gravastakam sung by the London devotees with George playing the guitar. And there was something amazing about it when I listened to it. I could sense the love in the heart of the devotees for Prabhupada. That love for the spiritual master was not like any love of this material world. I love you, I lust after you, and you know what I mean. It was pure bhakti, it was pure love. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever encountered. The love of the disciple for the spiritual master, that's really different than anything in this world, you see. And I was just relishing that loving feeling that they were having for Prabhupada. I was thinking, I had tears rolling down my face. I was thinking, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? And it was such a sweet feeling. I never felt something so wonderful in my whole life. And that was it. After that, I'm going to surrender now. So this was all in the association of Vishnu Janaswami. Of course, there's little humorous things too. We had gone to Dallas for a Lord Chaitanya festival. The devotees there organized in the park a big Lord Chaitanya festival. And they had a drama. I had my long hair down to my shoulders then. And they had me play the kazi in the play. They had a drum that was already half broken. They had me smash the other half, you know. So that was very dramatic. I got to play the kazi in this play. And I remember that after I shaved up in Austin, Vishnu Janaswami was talking with Mohanananda in Dallas, and he said, "The kazi shaved up." So they nicknamed me the kazi. So, and then finally, we went for the Rath Yatra, and we got to see Prabhupada for the first time. Actually, Vishnu Janaswami, he went with two of the boys, Sri Galim and I forget the other's name. It's now slipping the mind. But he went with two of the men, the first two who joined, the one who gave his jeep. He went with him and Sri Galim. And he arranged that we would all come later, you see. But then we had some difficulty with the landlord. He was very disturbed about the kirtans. And so the GBC said they can't go. They can't go to the Rath Yatra. So I was used to hitchhiking around the U.S. in my songwriting days. I thumbed and strummed across the U.S. many times. I knew I could get to California just by standing on the highway. That was a real conflict in my heart because I wanted to see Prabhupada. I'd never seen him. I'd accepted him as my guru. I wanted to see Prabhupada. But I know you're supposed to follow your GBC, and it would just drive me crazy. I should go. I should stay back. Oh, it's terrible. But then Vishnu Janamaraj heard about this, that our GBC man was telling us we can't go because we had this problem with the landlord. He called him up and said, they're all new men. They're not competent to deal with the landlord anyway. So we got to go to the Rath Yatra. The car came from Dallas, and we went out to the Rath Yatra. And it was so wonderful to see Prabhupada and to hear Prabhupada. And it was really amazing. Yeah, Prabhupada was showering his mercy like anything. So there's so many pastimes during those days with Prabhupada in San Francisco and also in Los Angeles. So I'm eternally indebted to His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami for bringing me to this movement. I can never thank him enough or serve him enough. for the wonderful mercy he's bestowed upon me. Vishnu Jan Maharaj Ki Jai. Anything else? Yeah.
Radhadamoda deities you are carrying around, is it the one from the bus program originally? I know that you got them from Tamakrishna Maharaj at one point, I heard from you.
No.
They're not the ones from the bus program.
They are in Gita.
Oh, yes, you said, I remember.
What is it?
Radhadamoda. Are
they from the bus party? The bus party Radhadamana are in Gita Nagari. This was a Radhadamana that was found on Juhu Beach. This Damodar was found on Juhu Beach. It was named after Damodar of the Radhadamana party in memory of the old Radhadamana days. So this is Radhadamana Jr., Chelta Radhadamana. Yeah, they were worshipped many years by His Holiness Tamakrishna Goswami all over the world, and then he gave them to my wife. So anything else? Yes.
Could you tell some more of your encounters with Srila Prabhupada? That is nice to hear about Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Who has given us all this.
Well, I first met him that day when I was vacuuming the rug. Even though I hadn't seen him yet, you see, the Vani presence is more important than the Vapu presence. So that day when I surrendered, wouldn't it be beautiful I give my life to Prabhupada? That's when I first met him, actually. Prabhupada entered into my heart at that time. So I've been blessed with his Sangha ever since that moment when I accepted him as my spiritual master. So that presence of the spiritual master is more important than physical meeting. When you actually invite him into your heart, that's the most important association. Because then he blesses you at every minute with Krishna consciousness to help you get out of Maya. So that was my first meeting. And the Vani form. But then later, we saw him at the Rath Yatra, we saw him in Los Angeles. He would come back from the walk, and to the Los Angeles temple, and he would walk down the sidewalk back to his quarters in the side rear entrance. So all the devotees, there was a system, all the devotees would line up down the sidewalk with a flower in their hand. And everybody would personally offer Prabhupada a flower, and he would give you a flower back from your basket. It was a wonderful thing. So I was standing right beside Vishnu Janaswami in the front of the line. He got a hug. He didn't get just a flower, he got a hug. That was really sweet. So I gave Prabhupada a flower, he gave me a flower, and then I wanted to, of course, to see Prabhupada was not an ordinary experience. Just to gaze at his transcendental form was not an ordinary experience, because his form is a completely spiritualized form of Vaikuntha man, you see, Krishna Loka man. So I stood on the stairway at the temple where he was, as he finished the line of devotees, he was walking towards his quarters, and I stood there just so I could take his darshan, so I could drink his form into my heart through the eyes, you see. And he looked up and saw me there, standing there. He didn't say a word. It was all body language and facial expression. But he went like this. "Have you gotten a flower yet?" is what he was telling me. He pointed to me. "Here's some stray devotee not standing in the line," said. He wanted to make sure I had gotten a flower that wasn't left out of the mercy. That was very special for me. And then I said yes. I nodded yes with him. I smiled real big. Mm-hmm. So happy that Prabhupada noticed me. So I smiled yes. No words, just all body language. So that was my first personal encounter face to face with Prabhupada in the physical sense. I was situated in remote temples away from where he was mostly visiting. So most of my association with Prabhupada was through Vani, and also many letters I received from him. I asked him, I inquired from him on many different subject matters. And he mercifully instructed me on many, many, many subject matters. So I took that as a blessing. Of course, it was a curse. I felt like I was cursed also in those days. You would hear, there would always come through, yeah, I was on the morning walk, and Prabhupada said this, and Prabhupada said that. It was going, oh, it's eating my heart out. You know, I was so envious. Why I can't be, why I wasn't the one that was on the morning walk, you know. Oh, it's a, in fact, I felt bad. You're not supposed to be envious of your godbrothers, right? But I was damn envious. So I wrote Prabhupada. I said, Prabhupada, I have this problem. I'm envious of my godbrothers because they're getting your association and I'm not. What can I do, Prabhupada, to get over this envy? And I was thinking, but yeah, he would tell me what to do to get free of the envy. He surprised me with his answer. He said, transcendental envy means when you see someone else is being recognized more than you, you should try harder so Krishna will notice you also. So Prabhupada didn't discourage that envy. He fanned the fire of the envy. Transcendental envy, you see. To want to be recognized by the spiritual master, actually, it's a, that means you want to please your spiritual master. It's transcendental. So he fanned the fire of envy. You want to be recognized? All right, you try harder now. So you can make, I can recognize. You see. So I'm still trying to do that. I see so many godbrothers who've accomplished so much for pushing on this movement. So many big Hanumans are there in this company. I'm just a little tiny spider, you know, brushing a few pieces of dust into the Indian Ocean. So I'm always thinking how I can increase my preaching more and more so Prabhupada will notice me also. It's, I'm always wanting to do that. Whatever time I have remaining in this body, I'm going to do something very big. So when I go back to Godhead, I can give a very nice report to Prabhupada. Because before, I was just, you know, I wasn't accomplishing much in the old days. I mean, I was steady in my service. We had nice preaching going on. My service was very much appreciated by different authorities. But still, I was a small-timer in the discount. You don't read about me in the, you know, the Lamrita, you know, not even mentioned. A small timer, you see. But it's not too late. Now I'm trying to do something big for Prabhupada. That's my, praying for his mercy, I can do something very, very big to push forward this movement. That's my prayer. Yeah.
Maybe you can speak a little bit about your travels all over the world also, because I read your newsletter every day and I'm feeling so encouraged and enthusiastic by the talks of meeting so many devotees all over the world. Maybe you can speak a little bit about your whole world tour, whom you are meeting.
What can we say? You know?
The obstacles, you speak often about the obstacles, but how you see it in such a wonderful Krishna conscious way.
Well, one of the nicest experiences we had was in South Africa recently. Because we read in the internet about Johannesburg. It's a very dangerous place. The police put cameras on every corner in downtown Johannesburg. We met one Indian gentleman in Toronto who was a medical doctor in South Africa. And the local natives, they hijacked his car and wanted to, you know, they carjacked him and wanted to take the kids and take the kids also. Let the husband and wife go free but keep the children. So he decided he would immigrate to Canada after that. It was too heavy for him. The things going on there are very heavy. So I was a little hesitant because we were going to Mauritius and the way to get from Mauritius to Australia is through Johannesburg. It's the routing of the flights. So we think, well, we could do a little preaching in Johannesburg. I called the temple in Johannesburg, and some Mataji answered the phone. She said, don't travel by cab and don't travel after dark. That's all she told me. It's dangerous. And I was thinking, well, we're arriving after dark. So what are we going to do? So there was a hotel, airport hotel, outrageously expensive. I won't even tell you how much it cost. $300 or $400 for one night. I mean, you know, we're talking, what's that, 1,500 kroners? I mean, it was outrageous. 1,600 kroners for one night. But we had no choice. It was right there at the airport. You just walk straight, you just take your, wheel your luggage right across the, anyway. But I have many readers on my e-course in South Africa. And they saw that I was coming through South Africa, and they emailed me, and they said, we'd like to meet you. So I said, okay, we'll be staying at this hotel, arriving at this time. And lo and behold, when we landed, there was a huge kirtan party there. So many devotees, they brought enough prasadam to feed 20 people. It was so sweet. Oh, we couldn't believe it. It was so wonderful thing. All these devotees, flower garlands, prasadam, smiling faces. One boy was an aspiring disciple of mine. I didn't know. I mean, it was just amazing. And so we said, come to the room. We squeezed in that room, and we had a wonderful festival that night in the room. We had all this prasadam. I gave a lecture there, which is posted on the internet now. Kirtan, it was so sweet. And some of them came back the next morning for Bhagavatam class also. And then I got a letter from the GBC saying, please forgive our offenses, but we did not receive you properly in South Africa. And all the temple presidents on the order of the GBC wrote, please forgive our offenses that we didn't receive you properly. And so now we're going to be venturing into the inner, away from the airport. Because Bhakti Chaitanya Swami told me, as long as you stay with the devotees, you're safe. They know what to do. Don't go on your own. If you stay with the devotees, you're safe, because they know how to deal with it. So that's our next year. We're going to South Africa. And it's going to be a very interesting experience. The devotees gave us so much love. It was just amazing. They just overwhelmed us with their love, you know. So these kind of things, even though it's hard for me physically with my ear problem, and the flying is difficult for me on my ears. Makes me, I have suffering with deafness problems. But it's so sweet that I just can't give it up. I'm addicted to this. Traveling and preaching is so nice. Anything else we could say about?
Mauritius.
Huh? Mauritius. Oh, Mauritius, yeah. What about Mauritius?
Well, this was our first visit last time to Mauritius.
Mauritius was very, very sweet.
All the devotees, the whole temple was at the airport.
The whole temple came to the airport. It's a big thing here. Yeah, the whole temple came to the airport. The temple president came to the, I mean, it was a big thing, receiving the traveling guru, you know, it was a big thing. It was very sweet. And I initiated a disciple there. I got another man ready, getting ready for the next time to be initiated. So we keep traveling around, and we get entangled in loving relationships in so many places. So we just wonder how we can keep up with all these loving relationships all over the world, you see. So now the...
Travels always when we were traveling from Sofia to Timisoara. We were stranded in the airport.
Sometimes we have to... There's different austerities, you know.
Yeah.
We flew the other day from Sofia to Budapest, and then we were taking a little propeller plane to Timisoara, Romania. And we waited for 7 hours, and then, because that was the connection time. I didn't mind. I had an internet connection. I was catching up my emails. But then it said flight canceled. They wanted to put us on a bus, 6 hour bus ride. Oh, forget it. It's like an hour flight, you know. So Mataji objected. Yeah, she raised a little fuss. And I said, okay, we'll put you in a hotel. We'll pay the hotel. We'll pay for the taxi back to and forth to the hotel. So they put us in a hotel. We spent the night in Budapest. And then went the next day to Timisoara. So that you have to be flexible on the road. Sometimes things go wrong.
You went to the restaurant.
Huh?
You went to the meet the devotees in the restaurant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gave a lecture there, I read.
Yeah, it cost us an arm and a leg, €50, I think, by the time all was said and done. which is a lot of money, 50 euros for lunch. The restaurant was expensive. It was like 10 euros per head, and then the cab was 30 euros. Two ways, you know.
We decided, we looked on the map, it seems that it was very close, and we thought we would just walk there. But then at the counter, the person said, no, we are not here, we are at this end. So
yeah, we thought, we looked on the map, and we thought our hotel was right near the restaurant. It turned out it was way on the other side of town from the restaurant. But anyway, we have all kinds of adventures. Traveling and preaching all over the world.
Yeah, the taxi drivers are always trying to rip off everybody in Budapest.
Yeah, we've learned how to take advantage of the, learn how to deal with the, get the best deal out of the airlines.
Not airlines, the bad. Taxi drivers. They are cheaters. They want extra money. They are asking for more than what it costs.
Where is that?
Budapest.
In Budapest?
Sounds more like India. Sounds more like India.
On the counter, they told us it's 10 euros to go to that place, to the restaurant. And one taxi driver took us 10 euros. And then on coming back, they were asking for 20 euros.
Flexible.
Yeah, and we discovered a wonderful gold mine of preaching in Pune where 300 people come for Bhagavatam class. Can you imagine 300 people at Bhagavatam class? Oh, it's so nice. And they offer us so respectful. The temple president wrote me, he gave me a Krishna card, with Krishna on the front. He wrote me the most wonderful appreciation for our preaching. So when we have those kind of experiences, we want to go back, Mm-hmm. The devotees appreciate our humble attempt to serve Prabhupada's mission. Mm-hmm. So, we circle the globe twice a year. Mm-hmm. And we go back to our home ashram in Texas. Mm-hmm. Four times a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, four times a year we go back, take a little break from the road. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not so much of a break. We have to go back and organize.